Before we start today's episode, I want to personally invite you to be part of something special. It's called the Financially Confident Christian Community. It's a place where believers come together to grow in faith, find encouragement, and support one another on the journey to financial freedom. If this show has inspired you, this community is your next step. Visit financiallyconfidentchristian.com/join and become part of a movement that turns faith into freedom.
Looking to take your financial knowledge to the next level? You're in the right place. Welcome to Ask Ralph, offering accounting, technical, and financial advice. Whether you're looking to save taxes or improve your business, he's got you covered. Here's your host of Ask Ralph, Ralph Eastup Jr.
Hello and welcome back to the Ask Ralph Show. You know, we normally do a financial health series, but today we're lucky enough to be joined by someone to talk about physical health. So we're joined today by Jody Collins. She's the owner of Informed Touch Massage Therapy. Welcome to the program, Jody.
Hi, Ralph.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a licensed massage therapist. I currently practice in Middletown, Delaware. I've been practicing for a little over 10 years now.
Fantastic. So what led you to the area of massage therapy?
Well, oddly enough, I wanted to be a massage therapist when I was a child.
Not a career that everybody would think of.
It really isn't. You know, but when I was growing up, my father talked me out of it. And so I went into a career in psychology, and that was what I now refer to as my past life.
Sure.
I was in a car accident in 2001, and it was pretty significant. I was told that I wouldn't be active again. And
wow, that's tough.
Yeah, I'm a really active individual. It's really important to me to move my body. I find that it's a big part of my mental well-being,
sure.
My ability to be active and stay active. And so I had a pretty rough time after that car accident. And after about a year of physical therapy and just kind of plateauing and not getting better, I was referred to a massage therapist. And she had me back to work in 6 weeks.
So the whole physical therapy, and we're not going to sit here and bash physical therapists, but the whole physical therapy just wasn't working for you.
No, it definitely didn't work for me. It was helpful for sure, but it was only helpful to a point. I needed something a little bit more.
So when you first heard the term, you know, when your caregiver, whatever, said, why don't you try massage therapy, what were your thoughts? Like, what did you think that was going to do for you?
I mean, I've always been open to holistic health kind of things and how to lean towards that. So I really wasn't surprised. And at that point, I was willing to try anything.
Right.
And so I was really excited about it and looking forward to it. It ended up being a really interesting experience. It wasn't at all what I expected. You know, a person hears massage therapy and you think that you're going to be on a table and someone's going to massage you and it's going to feel really good. And that just wasn't the case. It was very injury treatment targeted and it wasn't exactly comfortable most of the time getting the work done. But man, when I got off the table and I could walk better than I could before I got on it, when I was able to return to work after 6 weeks, after being off for an entire year out of work, unable
wow.
to, you know, the payoff was definitely worth.
Yeah, which leads me to the question that we talked about before our interview today is, you know, obviously there are different types of massage therapy. You know, going into this myself, and I'll disclose to the listeners, you know, Jody's been working with me for some time now, and going into it, I didn't really know what to expect. And like you mentioned, there are different types of massage therapy. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you're right. There really are a lot of different types of massage therapy. And so it can be difficult for a person who's just starting out and looking to receive massage therapy and what kind, you know, you want to look for. You've got everything from basic relaxation massage, which is sort of the spa experience that everyone thinks of or tends to come to mind first.
Sure.
When you talk about massage therapy. But then there's also a more clinical side to massage therapy, a very very medical side to it. So you can have therapists with training anywhere from 200 hours and all the way up.
And you and I have talked a little bit about this, in that, you know, you might go to one of the local shopping centers or something. You might see a massage therapy place or a massage place. And that is not exactly what you do. That's a totally different thing than what you do.
Yeah, it really is. And it really pays a consumer to be educated about what they're looking for. You know, most people aren't aware that in Delaware, there are two levels of massage therapy that are out there. There's a certified massage technician who only has 200 hours of education and can do Swedish massage. And these people are great to work with if that's what you're looking for. But the licensure level requires a minimum of 500 hours of education. You have to pass a national level test in order to carry the license. You have to, you know, do continuing education in order to keep the license and those types of things. You know, and then you have therapists that study even above and beyond that, and they go beyond the minimum of what is required and go after certifications and things like that. So having some idea of what you're looking for when you're going in to shopping for a massage therapist is really, really a good idea, looking at a person's credentials and even, you know, talking to other people who've worked with that therapist or reading reviews, that kind of thing.
So who are your typical clients? I know in my example, and I have to keep using myself as an example, but my primary physician said, "Hey, Ralph, you might want to talk to Jody," because I was telling her I was having some neck pain and all that sort of thing. And it sort of made sense to talk to you. Who are your typical customers or clients, I guess you would call them? And, you know, how do you normally go about, you know, meeting with them and that sort of thing?
So, one of the things that I really love about my practice is that I don't have a typical client. I work with all different kinds of people with all different kinds of issues. You know, I work with some elite athletes, world's level, Olympic level, that kind of thing. I really enjoy that. And I also work with, you know, average people, you know, those of us who are just doing the 9-to-5 thing. Maybe they're a weekend warrior kind of athlete, that kind of thing. You know, I work with elderly people.
But not just athletes, though. You're talking about people maybe who have chronic pain, who have been down the typical maybe opiate route and, you know, talk with a chiropractor and talk with a physical therapist, but just aren't receiving the comfort or getting any better. Is that?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of the people that I work with are people who, like me, have not had the luck that they hoped for with physical therapy. And so they end up trying something a little bit different.
What kind of ailments do you typically see people having? Or is it back pain? What are the type of things that you see people in generally in your practice?
I would say that the most common thing that I run across nowadays, regardless of age group and really regardless of whether the person is an athlete or not, is neck and back pain. And
I bet you're going to tell me because everybody's got their face in their devices.
It's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. You know, I think that it even goes back before smartphones were really, really a thing. And tablets were really a thing. You know, everything that we do is in front of us. Everything that we do, we're flexing forward. All of our major joints are flexing forward, whether we're sitting and watching TV, we're driving, all of those types of things. Even listeners, people who listen a lot. You know, I have a couple people who do counseling and that kind of thing on Sure. on my client list, and they're always leaning forward, you know, and like kind of reaching, trying to listen to someone. So there are all these ways that we're always reaching in front of us that we don't really think about. And but certainly this epidemic that's going on, because it is absolutely an epidemic with smartphones and tablets, and just people are constantly looking forward and leaning forward. And, you know, and then we have certain reflexes that happen. So our nervous system points our eyes out in front of us, and we end up with this really cranky neck that's in flexion at the bottom and an extension at the top. And we get stuck.
And how does that manifest to most people? You know, most people who are, you know, don't have the same level of education and experience that you have, they might just say, you know, it seems like whenever I work at my computer, you know, the rest of the day, my neck just aches. You know, how does it manifest itself with people that they may not even realize?
Well, the thing that I like to say to my clients a lot is, you know, the body will until it won't. The body makes a lot of adjustments and works really, really hard, so much harder than most of us realize, you know, on a moment-to-moment basis to support us in the activities that we demand of it. So generally what I see happening is not this awareness that, oh, you know, I've got bad posture, I need to work on this. It's, you know, the person who comes in and is seeking help, and they've been in this position for so long that there have been plastic changes that have happened to the tissues around these joints that have been put in an aberrant position because of the way that they're sitting and standing and moving through life on a regular basis.
And that's something you and I have actually talked about, because I think I said to you one day, like, I'm having this pain in my neck and you're working with my leg and you're like, it's all connected. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you and I talked about before, it's kind of like peeling back the layers of an onion. Mm-hmm. So is that what you see yourself? Because I know, I can't remember the term you use, fascia, I think is the term you use with me. It's like, that's what we're really talking about. It's the things that go around the parts of the body. And I'm not a person who understands all the technical terms, but mm-hmm. maybe you can elaborate a little bit on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So fascia is connective tissue, and it's in and around everything in our bodies. It's the thing really that holds us together. And it's a really exciting time to be in the bodywork profession, because there's so much new research coming out on fascia, and we're understanding so much more of it. But it is all connected. Every single cell in every single human body has its own fascial covering, you know, and then groups of cells and, you know, muscles and organs, and everything has its own fascial covering, different densities, different elastic kind of features, different mm-hmm. elastic mm-hmm. features. And they are absolutely all connected. You know, one thing flows into another, and everything is affected by the whole. You really can't break the body into parts. You know, if someone comes sure. in and they say, well, I have hip pain, the first thing that I do is I look at what the ankle below that knee is doing.
So you're kind of sizing them up, just basically when they walk in. So let's talk a little bit about that, because a lot of people don't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. So someone would, and we'll talk about how to get in touch with you, but they will call you and set up an appointment to come and meet with you mm-hmm. to have what you would call body work done. Mm-hmm. And you're basically going to sit with them for the first few minutes, I guess, and get an understanding of what's going on. Mm-hmm. But I know personally, you've looked at me and said, okay, well, I already know what's going on, because I can look at you and see it. Because mm-hmm. I think you would say people kind of carry themselves in a way you can kind of look at some things that they need to work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, I've been doing this for a little while now. And I've been blessed to have some really fantastic teachers. I've studied structural integration and movement therapy as well. And so what that did is it really opened up my eyes and allowed me to see a body moving as a whole organism, and being able to see different patterns. And so I can understand how, you know, a list to the right in someone's gait is going to affect their hip, their SI joint, their neck, these kinds of things. There are predictable kinetic patterns that happen in humans. And if you understand those kinetic patterns, then you can kind of understand where to look for something that might be a kink in sure. that kinetic pattern.
Sure, sure.
So, yeah, so watching people move is one of the first things that I do before I really even start talking to a person. I'm watching them walk in to the office. I'm watching them stand up from where they were seated in the waiting room and things like that.
And a therapy session usually lasts 60 minutes. Is that right? Is that mm-hmm. your typical therapy session?
Yep.
And what, you know, as a person, let's say they've never been to like a, what you would call a body work massage, mm-hmm. not the typical, you know, like I remember my wife and I did massages on a cruise ship, and that's not at all what we're talking about here. You know, and I can tell you from experience, like the first time you started pressing on me, I'm like, you need to stop. Like, this is ridiculous. This hurts. and you mentioned that before. So what is it? What is the customer's expectation? Like, you know, how many meetings should they have with you? You know, how often should they do this? You know, talk to me about that a little bit.
So everybody's different. And I'm not saying that to be ambivalent. I'm saying it because it's absolutely true.
Well, sure, everybody's body is different. Everybody's life experience has been different. And, you know, if you've been a track star your whole life, your body's going to wear differently than me sitting behind an accounting desk.
Exactly. You know, and the rates at which a person heals is a big deal. And that's affected by nutrition. It's affected by sleep patterns. It's affected by how much stress you've got going on in your life. All of these things. Hydration is a big one. Getting
you and
people,
I talked about that yesterday.
Getting people
we
to
both
drink
feel
enough
like
water.
People are really chronically dehydrated.
They absolutely are. I mean, that's not my opinion. That's a medical fact. Chronic
sure.
dehydration is an epidemic.
But everybody's path is going to be different. So for some people, it might be you see them once or twice for an acute issue.
Mm-hmm.
But then other people, is it more of like a weekly thing, or is it more of a biweekly, monthly thing? You know, what can a person expect? And I you know, use that as an example of like chiropractic, for example. You and I have talked a little bit about this. You know, a chiropractor say, well, I need to see you for an acute situation. I'm going to see you this many sessions.
Mm-hmm.
But then what I hear you saying, Jody, is that yours is more of a holistic approach and that it may be an ongoing relationship to not only deal with an acute problem. So somebody might come to you and say, like for me, for example, I came to you and said, hey, I have neck pain.
Mm-hmm.
And you quickly assess it. Okay, it's bigger than neck pain. So is that is that the typical, you know, people are going to have a different approach, but what does that look like?
So I guess the most important point to start with in this is that my goal as a therapist is for my clients to not need me, which may sound a little bit backwards. But
you know, I've heard like people who do mental therapy say the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an honorable place to be because unlike, and I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but I've heard of practitioners that the goal is to keep you coming every week.
Right.
But that is not at all your goal, you're saying.
No, it's really not. And so I put a lot of effort into educating my clients about things like fascia, like what we were just talking about the way their body moves. And I'm also really big on giving people homework. Giving them
so I'm not just going to come to you for a massage. You're going
to
give me stuff to do afterwards too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, it's definitely, I view a therapeutic relationship as a two-way street. And if I'm going to enter into this with you, then I expect you to do your part. You know, most people come to me and they're seeking some type of improvement in some area of their life. And so it's my goal to help them with that. If they're passive in relationship to their therapy, then they're probably going to have minimal results. If they're active in relation to their therapy, then they're going to have better results.
Yeah, you can come in and manipulate them around while they're on your table for an hour. But if they're not changing the lifestyle things that are causing these problems, it's not going to be a long-term solution is what you're saying.
Right. And so for some people, these are major lifestyle changes that they need to make in order to get where they need to go. Mm-hmm. For other people, it might be, you know, a 5-minute self-myofascial release session that I'm asking them to
do every
other
day. Now, tell me what that, because you just threw a big term out, myofascial release. Let's endeavor to talk about that for a second. What does that mean?
So myofascia is the fascia that relates to muscles. Okay.
Basically the stuff that goes around the muscles for a layman. Is that the idea?
So it goes around the muscle. It goes through the muscle. It's all in the muscle. So one of the really quick and dirty ways that I like to explain muscles to people is to think of it like an orange. You know, an orange has a peel. Muscle has a fascial covering that covers the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Unpeel the orange and you have still a whole orange, but with all these segments.
Sure.
Same way, the muscle has a bunch of different segments. Each segment has its own skin and is innervated by a single motor neuron, which is, you know, not really important talking about fascia. We just need to know that these segments have their own fascial covering.
I like the idea of an orange because I think people can relate to that.
Yeah. And it works well. So, but then you take the segment of the orange and you break it open and there are the small little bits inside the segment and they all have their own skin and they have a little string that attaches them up to the top of the segment.
Mm-hmm.
And then the segments all have that white, you know, fibrous kind of pulp that runs through and attaches it to the peel of the orange. So in the same way, every single muscle fiber cell in a muscle has its own covering that goes out and connects to the covering of the motor unit that cell lives in. And the coverings of that motor unit goes out and then attaches to the covering over the muscle.
Okay.
And all of those fascial coverings from the cellular level all the way up to the whole muscle level converge to form the tendon. And the tendon is what attaches the muscle to the bone.
And that's what people will talk about. I have a tendon issue, or I have tendonitis. I've heard that term before. Sure.
Yeah. And so when we talk about myofascia, we're talking about all of those layers of fascia that live within a muscle. And also our muscles live right next to each other. They're neighbors. And so
not always good neighbors,
not always good neighbors. So when they're not a good neighbor, they get kind of adhesed, right? Mm-hmm. So what'll happen is the same way as, you know, when you get a cut on your skin and it, you get a little scar it puckers and it kind of sticks to the skin underneath of it. So that's happening inside our bodies to our muscles and our fascia. So you can end up with these little kind of sticky adhesions that happen. And they happen from microtrauma, which we're producing microtrauma every time we work out or every time we overuse a muscle.
Sure.
Sitting for 8 hours in front of a computer is absolutely overuse. So these microtraumas happen even when you don't realize that they're happening.
And they're continuing to happen if you're not changing your lifestyle.
Exactly. And so what you end up with is you end up with all of these sticky adhesions down to the cellular level and then on a larger level between muscles. So you end up with all of this fascia that is supposed to be gliding against one another in order to maintain harmony in its relationship with its neighbor that is instead stuck. So now you've got some movement that isn't exactly what it should be.
Sure.
Self-myofascial release is a way that individuals can use tools, things like lacrosse balls, foam rollers, golf balls, things like that.
Like my half ball I just happen to have here that we talked about.
Yep, exactly. So things like that that you can use to put pressure on different tissues and then add in active movement so that you're actually creating more tissue excursion or tissue glide.
And so this is what you talk about homework then. So if I come to meet with you and you're addressing an issue, you're going to say, okay, Ralph, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to go or maybe I'll give it to you. I'll provide you with this. Here's what I want you to do every day. You know, manipulate this by doing this. I mean, make it real simple, but.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I mean, I had a gentleman who came in last week with a calf injury and he left with, you know, a list of 3 different exercises that he was supposed to do. One was every day and the other 2 were every other day on alternating days.
Sure.
And these are things that, you know, he does them. They're going to take him between 3 and 5 minutes a day to do, but, you know, it's important for him to follow through and do that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're sort of retraining the muscles then at this point. You're removing those adhesions. You're breaking that apart so they can act in a correct format. Is that the idea?
You're restoring the tissue glide.
Now,
on the inside.
This is going to sound like a silly question, but are there people that are too far gone? Like, have you run across somebody, because you mentioned you work with elderly people, and these are people who have been well seasoned, and I don't mean that in a negative way at all, but, you know, do we get to a point that we can't do anything? Like, have we reached that point with some people?
There is a place where the best that you can hope for is that you don't get any worse.
Okay.
There is a place. It's a pretty far gone place. Like, you know, really the only person that I have worked with who's in that scenario is in her late 80s.
Okay.
And I've been working with her for 9 years now.
Sure.
And she's not gotten any worse.
So these are long-term relationships
since
you're
I
building
started
also. This isn't just a, hey, I'm going to see Jody one time. She's going to fix everything and I'll never see her again.
You know, in some cases, it really is a long-term relationship. And in some cases, it definitely is not.
Okay.
You know, some of the athletes in particular that I work with, and also some average Joes that I work with, you know, we kind of get to the bottom of what's going on, and getting to the bottom of what's going on might be, you know, a little bit more frequency. You might have to come every 2 weeks, every week or something like that for a period of time, even once a month. But then some of these people, it's like, okay, well, I'll see you when I see you. And I hear from them once a quarter.
Sure.
Twice a year or something like that. So it really is individual. And again, it a huge piece of it is a person's lifestyle. How engaged are they in their own health when they're not on my table? That's a thing that really drives how often they're coming in.
So we've only got a couple more minutes here, but I wanted to give you a few minutes just to talk about how someone gets in touch with you, how they would reach you, and how they go about scheduling an appointment with you.
Okay. So I'm pretty simple. I'm a sole proprietor. So you contact me directly. And my cell phone number is 302-229-8239.
Yes.
Call and text are both fine.
Okay.
And I can also be emailed at Jody, that's J-O-D-I dot L dot Collins at gmail.com.
So that's the best way to handle it. Now, one final question. What does it cost? And, you know, do you take insurance? Or because I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, you know, how much is this going to cost? And is this an insurance thing? And just address that real quick, if you could.
Okay. So the cost is $90 per session. And I currently do not bill insurance, but I do have a national provider identifier number. So what I can do is I can provide people with a receipt and they can submit for reimbursement if their insurance will cover it. Some flex accounts and some health savings accounts do cover my work. I do have some people that pay for their sessions with their health savings account
card. Sure, that makes sense.
So, yeah.
Well, Jody, listen, I appreciate your time and I hope our listeners will get back in touch. If you could give us the phone number one more time.
302-229-8239.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Ask Ralph, brought to you by Sazio Accounting Plus. Please subscribe to and rate our podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a rating and review. Our podcast is produced by Carolyn Peters. Thank you for listening and be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Ask Ralph Media. You can also hear me each week on 1450 WILM and on 1410 WDOV in Delaware and on the iHeartRadio app. Submit your questions or ideas for future shows by sending an email to AskRalph@AskRalph.com.
The information contained in this episode of Ask Ralph is based on data available as of the date of its release. Sazio Accounting Plus and Ask Ralph Media Inc. is under no obligation to update this content if changes occur. Applying this information to your specific situation requires careful consideration of all facts and circumstances, and any information provided is not to be considered as financial, tax, or legal advice. Please consult your tax advisor or attorney before acting on any material covered.
Before you go today, I want to challenge you to take what you've heard today and put it into action. You don't have to do it all alone. Join our financially confident Christian community, where faith and finances truly come together. There you'll find powerful devotionals, real-life encouragement, and practical tools to help you live out God's plan for your money. And when you join, you're helping spread this message of hope and financial freedom to even more believers around the world. So I encourage you, visit financiallyconfidentchristian.com/join. Take that step, grow your faith, and let's build a generation of Christians who are truly financially confident together.